Amen. Well, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continuously be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. That was an invitation. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Amen. And let us exalt his name together. It is a privilege today and an honor to be here at Christ Covenant Church with my friend, my brother, Pastor Bradley, Brother Blake. Amen. They're not just my friends, they're my brothers. And so I'm grateful for just the invitation to be here, for the relationships that we're building based upon the gospel, and just also the heart that you all have for racial reconciliation and things like that. I'm just humbled, amen, to stand in this place today to proclaim the word of the Lord. Thankful to God for my wife. If you all see some other people who look like me who walk in a little while, they're just getting out of life groups, and so we may have some people coming from Belfair in a moment to join us. And so there is a word from the Lord. Amen. Before we open up the word, let's spend just a moment in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for life today, for health and strength. God, we thank you for this worshipful atmosphere. We thank you, God, that we have the opportunity to worship you together. We thank you for the local church and just a place where relationships can be made, a place where we can grow in your word, a place where we can grow to love one another and to love the community. Father, I thank you for Christ Covenant Church and everything they mean to this community that you've placed them in. I pray, God, that you continue to bless them, God, bountifully as you will. We pray as we begin to open up your word, as we open up your word this morning, Father, as has already been said, that you would just begin to deal with our hearts, Heavenly Father, break up that fallow ground so that the seed of your word can be planted, take root, and bring forth fruit and much fruit to your glory. Father, we yield to the movement of your, the leading and guiding of your spirit today. And we pray that above all, you would be glorified in this place. And it's in the matchless name of Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if I could be honest this morning, as I was sitting there preparing to step up to the platform, and really when I drove up in the parking lot, my left knee reached over and touched my right knee and said, "Let's shake." So I've been asking everybody that I came in contact with this morning, just pray for me today. Just pray for me. The word of God this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah 29, verses 10 to 14. Typically, I preach about 40, 45 minutes or so, but this morning I'm going to try to speak up, hurry up, shut up, and sit down. Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 14. I'm reading today from the English Standard Version. And in your Bibles, you'll find similar words. "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." As you see printed on the bulletin this morning, I want to use as a subject for today, God has a plan. God has a plan. As I was studying this passage of scripture, my mind's eye went back to my childhood days. I went to Greenbrier Elementary. Some of you all may know about that, but I grew up in Monticello Subdivision. The school there in our neighborhood was Greenbrier. I have fond memories of growing up there. One of my favorite things to do in class was when the teacher would pass out connect the dot puzzles. Anybody know anything about that? And they would pass out the connect the dot puzzles, and it's interesting. It's just a bunch of distorted dots on the sheet of paper, and you take your pencil and you meticulously connect one dot to the next until at last the image that was on the mind of the creator of the puzzle comes to fruition. Sometimes it's a little dog. Sometimes it's a face. Sometimes it's a car. Sometimes it's a house. But as we connect one dot to the next, we don't really know what's going to become of the image, but it had always been in the mind of the creator of the puzzle. And I thought about that because I think that it's a great illustration of what life is like. You see, sometimes as we go through life, we deal with hardships, we deal with trials and tribulations. We find ourselves in certain predicaments or situations, and we don't always know why we are where we are. We don't always know where God is exactly taking us. We don't know what the fruition of everything is going to look like at the end of the day. But guess what? On the mind of the Creator is a perfect image. He's got a plan of where he desires us to be. Just a few things I want us to think through as we unpack the text today. And the first is this: God knows where you are. God knows where you are. Let me let y'all in on a little something. If you say amen, I won't preach as long. All right. So somebody said amen, Reverend. Amen. Amen. That's just a joke. You might hurt my feelings. Just amen, 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 amen. But here's the first point this morning. God knows where you are. And so as we zoom our focus on the text, what we discover today is that because of their rebellion, God had allowed the children of Israel to be attacked by the Babylonians. They've been carried away into captivity. And here it is, the sole purpose of God allowing them to be carried away was to condition their hearts over a period of 70 years to desire him again. And the text is clear to that end, verse number 4, verse 7, verse 14, that God allowed them, God even caused them to be carried away, to be driven into exile. One of the things that I like to point out there is we think about our lives and where we find ourselves at this point in the connecting of the dots of our existence in this world, is that wherever you are today, that is physically, financially, socially, spiritually, we have to come to grips with the reality that God is sovereign. And he's allowed us to be where we are. Certainly, if it's a tough place, if it's a place of hardship and a place of struggle, I've come to a point in my life where I recognize that if God has me in a difficult moment or a difficult season, that he has me there for a purpose. I just choose to believe that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so God allowed them to be where they were. If you're taking notes, write this down. This is what I call a PowerPoint. I may give two or three as we preach today, but here's the first PowerPoint. Here is preparation for there. Here is preparation for there. So that you are not where you are by accident or by happenstance, by coincidence. You are here for a purpose, and God is working in your life in this season, in this moment, for a purpose, and he's preparing you for where he's taking you. How many of you believe that God has a plan? And so here's the question. If God knows where I am, then what should I be doing while I'm here? I'm glad you asked that question. When you look at the text, we see a couple of things, two things that I want to point out here. God tells Israel to do two things while in Babylonian captivity. He says, number one, I want you to grow. Somebody say grow. Grow, that's it. Look at verses 5 and 6. God told them to build houses. He says, I want you to plant gardens. I want you to raise families. I want you to be fruitful and multiply. I want you, if I can put it the way I feel it today, I want you to bloom right where you're planted. Don't just sit around. I know that you're in a strange place, and I know that situations around you are difficult, but I want you to bloom right where you're planted. As I think about growing up again on Money Cellar Boulevard, my parents had a gutter around their the house back in the day, and we would let sometimes years go by, Brother Blake, before we cleaned the gutter out. And one year, my dad sent us up there to clean the gutter out, and I discovered that right in the middle of the gutter was a whole bunch of trash, and it was a whole bunch of dirt, a whole bunch of straw from the pine trees, and all kinds of stuff was stacked into the gutter, and out of the middle of all of the trash was a flower. That had bloomed right in the midst of that difficult situation. And this is what God now tells his people. He said, I am sending you into captivity. I'm causing you to go through this situation that you're going through. But listen, while you're there, I don't want you to sit around and twiddle your thumbs. I don't just want you on Facebook and Twitter. Come on, talk to me, somebody. I don't want you wasting your life away. When you go there, I want you to build homes. I want you to raise families because you won't always be there forever. Bloom right where you're planted. And so he tells them to grow. And then secondly, he tells them to go. Look at verse number 7 of the text. God tells them, he says, seek the peace, the shalom of the city. And I want you to pray for the peace of the city. In other words, while you're waiting for the plan of God to unfold in your own life, I want you to be an instrument in the change that could possibly happen in somebody else's life. I'm preaching better than you shouting. He tells them, I want you to pray for the city. Pray for the peace of the city. What a wonderful word for us today. As we think about the country that was founded upon biblical principles, and yet you look around, the nation in which we live seems to be everything but a nation under God. What can the Church of the Living God do in such a time as this? You can pray for the peace of the city. God knows right where you are. Here's the second point. God knows what you need right where you are. If I could be honest this morning, I don't always know what I need. I for sure know what I want, but I don't always know what I need. I don't know, if I could be honest today, what's best for me, but I know that I serve a God who knows what's best for me. I was riding down the interstate on the way to church just this morning. I looked over, and in my peripheral was a sign that had the lotto and Louisiana Lottery and Powerball, and I said, man, $100 and something million? Come on, somebody. And I may look at something like that and say, I sure enough want that. Be a nice path for my life. We want sometimes things that God doesn't want for us. Sometimes we want money, and sometimes we want esteem. Sometimes we want a certain position. Sometimes we want a certain kind of a spouse. Sometimes we want happiness. Sometimes we want influence. Amen. But what we want isn't always what God wants for us, is it? It would be good for us to listen to the words of the wisest man to have ever lived outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon says in Proverbs 14, just a few verses here, 14, verse number 12, he says, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. See, I can in my life look at certain things and say, man, I would love to have that. I would love to be in this place. I would love to be in that position. But what looks good to me is not always good for me. Proverbs 16 and 9, Solomon says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And then Proverbs 19 and 21, he says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. We don't always know what we need. And here's another thought. We don't always know what we need because we don't always hear what we need from the people we need to hear it from. Somebody said, man, what you talking about, Reverend? Well, as we think again about God's people in Babylonian captivity, the people of God should have heard the heart of God from the men of God. But the men of God were more interested in telling the people what they wanted to hear and not what they needed to hear. And so if you look at verses 8 and 9 of the text, what you see there is that the so-called prophets of that day, specifically Hananiah, they were giving the people false hopes that in just 2 years. Now, here's the question. How long did God say they would be in captivity? 70. And yet there were false prophets that were arising amongst them that were telling the people, no, don't worry about the 70-year prophecy. No, you can live your best life now. Don't worry about what Jeremiah is saying. In just 2 years, you'll be back in the land. Everything's going to be cool, calm, and copacetic. But God said, verse number 10 of those prophets, he says, I have not sent them. Brothers and sisters, you cannot listen to every message of hope just because it sounds good. One of the things that I've learned in ministry in some of the circles that I used to run in terms of ministers or so-called preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I've learned through the years that everything that sounds good is not good in sound. That'll preach all day. So that it may give you goosebumps. It may inspire you. But if it does not line up with the word of God, it may sound good, but it is not good and sound. Jeremiah's message was not a popular one, but he told the people what they needed to hear. Look at verse number 10 again. He's careful to point out there. He says, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed," which means I don't care what you think, but you got to go through it. "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place, not 2 years, but 70 years. That's not the kind of preaching that people like to hear in the generation we live in. When I was growing up, my mama used to give me certain medicines when I wasn't feeling good. And I sometimes would fight against taking the medicine. I'd pucker my lips up and try to turn my head away. It didn't taste good going down, but by and by, it was sure enough good for me. So Jeremiah, even though his message is rejected by the people, even though there are false prophets who are preaching a different message, amen, it was just what the people needed right where they were. Here's the last point. God has a plan for your future. Isn't that a mighty good word this morning? Right where you are. I don't know what you're dealing with in your life and your marriage and your career. Maybe even in the church. I'm not sure where you are or what you're dealing with, but God has a plan for your future. A few things I want us to think about here. Number one, his plan was painful. And so God's plan for bringing his people back to their land, watch this, it involved them being taken away as slaves and seemingly losing everything in the process. These people, the Bible said, had hung their harps on the willow trees and had lost their song in Babylon. They begin to ask the question among themselves, how can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? What they needed to understand was, even though the process that God was bringing them through was painful, God was still working behind the scenes by his grace to prosper them. Really their posterity, because they wouldn't go home, but their posterity would. God says, verse 11, I know the plans that I have for you, to prosper you and to give you hope and a future. So if you're taking notes, write this down. God's plan often involves taking his people through suffering and not around it. I mentioned just a moment ago, if I could choose my path in life, I would just as soon go around suffering. Then I'll go through it. But it's a beautiful thing to know that even in the dark moments of life, God works in dark places to develop in us what could never be developed in the light. There's a poem that I learned years ago, and it says this: I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow. Never a word said she, but all the things I learned from her. Sorrow walk with me. Sometimes God will allow us to go through those tough seasons in life. It's painful, amen, but he develops us through those seasons of suffering. Not only was his plan painful, but it was purposeful. I'm just about where I need to be. Notice the purpose for what they were going through. Look at verses 12 and 13. God was conditioning them to search for him with their whole heart, so that they would stay in Babylon for the exact amount of time that God knew would be necessary to transform their hearts, so that they would again long for him, so that they would run to him in faith and repentance, so that they would really be changed. And the Bible says, search for him with their whole hearts. Some of us are still going through difficult seasons in life because we're still searching for God in a half-hearted kind of a way. There's a lot of people that I hear say sayings like this: I'm waiting for my breakthrough. And what I've learned in life is to flip that. So I give it what I call a righteous remix. If you're waiting for a breakthrough, watch this. You'll get a break when God is through. Sometimes that takes 2 years. Sometimes it takes 10. Sometimes it takes 70. But I'd rather have God working with me, breaking my neck, if he has to do that, to bring about within me the sanctification, the growth, the transformation that he desires to happen in my life. Here's the last thing. His plan was positive, so that there is absolutely nothing you can do to get in God's way. One of my favorite quotes by the late, great R.C. Sproul is that in the universe, there are no maverick molecules. See, everything is under the control of a sovereign God. And there is nothing that you and I can do to get in God's way. It may take 70 years, but God is going to get the glory whether we like it or not. There was a couple who used to go to England. They would shop there in the beautiful stores. And one day in a shop, they saw a beautiful teacup, and they asked the worker if they could see it. And as the worker handed the teacup to this couple, suddenly the teacup begin to speak. The teacup says to the couple, "You don't understand. I haven't always been this beautiful teacup, because there was a time when I was just red and I was clay. My master took me and rolled me, and he patted me over, and I yelled to my master, 'Man, stop that.' He smiled at me and he said, 'Not yet.' Then he placed me on a spinning wheel, and I yelled at my master, and I said, 'I'm getting dizzy. Please stop taking me through all of these changes.' But my master rebuked me and said, 'Not yet.' Took me off of that spinning wheel, and he put me into the oven, and I could not understand why my master, who supposedly loved me so much, would put me in a situation that would burn me. And so I yelled to my master, 'Let me out of here.' But he said, 'Not yet.' Set me on a cool shelf. But then he started putting paint all over me. I thought for sure that I would just about die from the fumes, but I didn't. I complained. I said, 'Stop it.' And he said, 'Not yet.' One more time, he put me back into the oven, turned it hotter than before. I begged and I screamed, I cried out. I wanted him to stop before it was time for him to stop. And he said to me, "Not yet." Just when I knew that I wouldn't make it, he opened the door, placed me on the shelf, and I was more beautiful than I could ever imagine. Who am I preaching to today? You've been rolled and you've been patted. You become dizzy because it seems as if every time you turn around, you're going through changes in life. God has placed you into the proverbial fire to burn off the impurities and the things in your life that are not like Christ. And you're in the midst of this situation. Maybe you're trying to make out this connect the dot puzzle. You don't understand what's going on because God is not finished with you. I just came by today to encourage you that he's got a plan. It may take longer than you think it'll take. You may say, "Well, God, I want a breakthrough. Get me out of this thing." But you'll get a break when God is through. He knows where you are. He knows what you need right where you are. And he's got a great plan for your future. Amen. God bless and keep is my prayer.